If you want to learn more about climate fiction, we've posted a feature on Cli-Fi with some suggestions to get started at nprnews.com. Also today, stay tuned. At noon, we're going to have on NPR News Presents a new program from Climate One, the series. This one about the hidden health hazards of climate change, allergies, asthma, diseases spread by ticks and mosquitoes. It's all changing. That's at noon today on NPR Presents. But now I want to turn to another developing climate change impact, and that's the scarcity of water. Colorado River water is the lifeblood for millions of people in California, Nevada, Utah, Arizona. Now federal forecasters say there are a better than even odds that the nation's largest reservoir will continue to decline to shortage conditions by 2020. That would force Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico residents to reduce their Colorado River water use. Jonathan Overpeck is the Dean for the School of Environment and Sustainability at the University of Michigan. He's been a lead author for the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change reports. He's also considered one of the world's leading experts on climate change and impacts on water resources on the Colorado River and in the Southwest. I first interviewed Jonathan in Arizona over a decade ago, and he joins us today from the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. Jonathan, it's good to talk with you again.
It sure is.
Let's talk about the current state of flow on the Colorado. The Southwest has been in a drought for almost, 20 years now. How has that impacted the Colorado River flow over the past few decades?
Yeah, you know, the Colorado River serves seven states and Mexico, probably pushing 40 or 50 million people, depending on who you look at it, and a lot of agriculture. And the flows have, as you mentioned, have started plummeting in the earliest part of this century. Since 1999, essentially, Colorado River has been in drought.
And let's talk about the reality that people are facing as that trend continues. What'd you say? How many people rely on the Colorado River for their daily water? Is it 40 million?
40 million is a good number. Some people say 50, some people say a little less, but I think 40 is a really good number.
And you, I know, study what we call mega droughts. These are these long duration droughts. Talk a little bit about the current mega drought in the Southwest.
Well, the current mega drought, you know, it's interesting because we define mega drought in the Southwest as a drought lasting decades, meaning 20 years or longer. So this drought is right on the cusp of becoming a mega drought, and it's moved around in the West and in the Southwest over the last 19 years now. Sometimes it's worse in California. Sometimes it's worse out on the panhandle of Texas, Oklahoma region. Sometimes it's worse up in Colorado. But it's always been in and around the Four Corners region, particularly in Arizona and New Mexico, over that long period of time. And some years have been really dry, some have been not so dry. And we've been lucky that the infrastructure, the dams on the Colorado, the reservoirs on the Colorado, they've been able to buffer the impacts of this drought. But now these big reservoirs, the largest two reservoirs in the United States, Lake Powell and Meade, are collectively a good deal less than half full. And as these flows continue to go down even further, we're worried that we're going to reach an official shortage. And this would really be a shock to the Southwest.
So I'm curious about the signals here, the longer-term climate signals. Mega drought, yes, we're on the cusp of that. Or is this climate change? I mean, when does mega drought sort of become climate change, if you know what I'm getting at?
This is a good debate. This drought contrasts with previous droughts we've had in the Southwest. The previous droughts were driven by lower precipitation than normal. This drought, there have been some dry years for sure, but it's been driven more by the elevated temperature. So it really appears that most of the reductions in river flow in the Colorado and Rio Grande and other rivers in the Southwest, they're being driven by anomalously high temperatures, and these high temperatures, of course, are the local or regional symptoms of global warming. So as we get more and more warming around the planet, we get more and more in the Southwest, and we get, as a result, less and less flow in our rivers. So this could be going into a drought that in theory, will never end unless we can really put the brakes on climate change.
You know, one thing, Jonathan, I noticed during my 9 years in the Southwest is that even small climate shifts can have sort of an outsized impact in these marginal climate zones that maybe get just enough rain or snow to get by. Why are even small climate shifts important in places like Arizona and the Southwest?
Well, it's just as you said. I mean, these are marginal areas already. You know, I think the first explorers of the Southwest all noted this is going to be a tough place to live, and it's through our ingenuity in damming rivers and using water wisely we've managed to have a thriving economy and good quality of life down in the Southwest. But as we warm things up, it's essentially, you know, driving us back across that tipping point into maybe a much less sustainable climate with a lot less water coming down these rivers. And if, at the same time, of course, everyone in America has noticed the uptick in large wildfires. And believe it or not, there are just whole areas of forest in the Southwest that are dying outright just because of the warming. Then the insects, and then you get the wildfires. On top of that, you're getting a major transformation. It's not just in the rivers. And it's a big question is what's that going to mean about the future economy and quality of life in the region? And people are grappling with that now because it could get a whole lot worse if we don't tackle climate change.
Well, and that's exactly my next question, and I want to take it in two parts. First of all, the economy of the Southwest largely is based on water, and correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't many of the assumptions for the flow in the Colorado determined during the 1920s, which was the highest flow decade on record, but we haven't seen that kind of flow since. So what is that doing to our assumptions about water on the Colorado?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned sort of one of Mother Nature's biggest jokes on the Southwest. You know, they were dividing up the Colorado back in the starting in the 20s. And that turns out, we now know from tree ring records, to have been one of the very wettest periods in the last 1,200 or longer years. So we divided up more water than normally flows, maybe about 15% more water than normally flows. And that was no problem for decades. But in the 1990s and into this century, of course, more and more people keep moving to this fastest growing region of our country. And so now, we need all that water, and it's all allocated, and yet even in a normal good year, we don't have as much as that's allocated. And then the climate change is on top of that. And the climate change in this drought, we've had about a 19% reduction in river flows in the Colorado. The Rio Grande is having, over in New Mexico, is having one of the very worst years ever this year. And so these are symptoms of much bigger problems to come as the continued warming will continue to reduce these flows, maybe as much as by a half later in this century.
And what are the what's the bottom line impacts here? If we talk economically, for example, I mean, this may be shallow, but a lot of Minnesota and Michigan folks where you are snowbirds own property in the Southwest. Are there impacts ahead potentially on real estate value, agriculture? Give us the concerns that people are thinking about.
Well, I'll circle around to the real estate, you know, but really what it means first and foremost is the obvious is there'll be less water. And if there's a shortage, and there's a 50% chance now, more than 50% chance of an official shortage, the first ever on the Colorado in 2020. And when that occurs, Arizona's going to get 11% less water. Nevada's going to get less water. Mexico's going to get less water. But, you know, there's just going to be a lot of concern and angst when this happens. And the question will be, what will investors say about investing in new home developments, investing in municipal bonds for in the region, and other types of businesses moving there? And as someone who just moved from Arizona, I have to say, my wife is also another climate scientist, it was in the back of our minds that we were making a sound investment buying property in Michigan and selling in Arizona, because we're worried that when, you know, the cow pie hits the fan, that real estate values could tank again. And we saw that in 2008, and I'm just worried that the shock of not enough water could do that again.
Jonathan, we've got a little over a minute left. I'm curious about your biggest message for people about climate change. You do a lot of talks. You talk to a lot of people. I'm sure you have normal friends in your daily life. How do you make climate change real to the people you talk with?
In the Southwest, it's not hard. Everybody there knows the climate change is going on. And believe it or not, 75% of Southwesterners know it's due to humans. It's just not high enough on their priority list. And I would say we better start making it a top priority if we want a vibrant Southwest. And it's just like along the coastlines of the Gulf and Atlantic coasts. Those two are being flooded by climate change. And we're seeing clear signs of it happening. There's no doubt about that anymore. And it just means it's going to get worse and worse if we don't tackle climate change. And the cost to everyone, including in the Midwest, will be high because we pay for the insurance, we pay for the taxes that bail these things out. So this is a national problem of mounting importance.
Jonathan Overpeck, great discussion. Dean of the School of Environment and Sustainability at the University of Michigan. Thanks for your work and thanks for your insight today.
Thanks, Paul. I really appreciate you taking interest in these important topics.
That's ClimateCast today. Thanks for listening. I'm NPR Chief Meteorologist Paul Huttner.